The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the book of St. James, the 5th chapter, select verses from that chapter. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now increase our faith through them. Amen. Some of you may have heard me tell this story before. Years ago, a long time ago, when I was a young pastor, a young woman, probably about college age, came to me to see me and had asked to set up a special time to meet. And she said she'd been unable to sleep for the past 3 nights because something was bothering her conscience so badly, and she just wanted to get it out. So she started to cry and put her hands in her face. She said she was so ashamed of herself, and she told me what had happened. She was working at a place that had a time card you had to fill out, and it was an electronic thing. It was a time card, and you would be paid on that basis. And she had written down on her last pay period 15 extra minutes of work that she got paid for that she lied about. And this was troubling her conscience so badly that she could not sleep at night. And I had to hold back from laughing a little bit because I was thinking, that's why you came in to talk to me? 15 minutes of, it was wrong, but. And it reminded me, though, of something that old Professor Jewel Madsen taught us in seminary. He said, someday somebody might come to you with something really bothering their conscience, that is really burning on their conscience. And when they confess it to you, it may not seem like very much to you, but you have to treat it like murder. That was quite a sentence. You have to treat it like murder. That all sin needs to be handled and dealt with, especially when someone is so burdened like that. There are times when maybe we need special moments to sit down with a pastor or just a fellow Christian and talk about our sins. There are times when private, personal confession can be a real helpful thing. Dr. Walther said this, that when a Christian sins, it's like a splinter in his hand that he must remove because it causes pain. I like that in a spiritual sense. Conversely, I'll say this, that if you are caught up in a sin and you're well aware of it and it doesn't trouble your conscience at all, that's dangerous. That is dangerous. When you have let yourself get callous to something you know God says is wrong, that's a dangerous position to be in. But there are certain sins and things that we fall into that seem to stand out bigger than others. And they sting our conscience in a different way and in a deeper sense. And they may at times require special attention and special discussion with a fellow Christian. So our consciences can sometimes be very delicate. And even when we know and can explain to others that God has forgiven us because of what Jesus has done, it can still come back and disturb you. It can still kind of eat away at you. And one of the nicest Christian gentlemen I've ever served in the ministry came to me many years ago, and he was now up in his upper 70s. And he said, as I get older, there seem to be more and more things I remember from my youth that come back to bother me now. Things that I know I've confessed to God before many times, but they just seem to come back to me. I was talking to a young lady once who had children that were now probably teenage years, and she said that having to train her daughters in things about sexuality reminded her of her own sins of premarital sex. And that it was starting to really prick at her conscience in a completely different way. And she was starting to have doubts about God's forgiveness and was kind of angry with herself. Martin Luther, during the Reformation, wanted to retain the confessional, the time for a Christian to go in and talk to his or her pastor. And it was a two-step process, if you will. It's a very simple thing. One is that you confess your sins, and number two is that you receive absolution, that the Christian across from you, a pastor or maybe a friend, speaks God's forgiveness to you and declares to you the gracious forgiveness of all of your sins. And despite how simple and little and seemingly insignificant that is to the world, God tells us that when that happens, the angels in heaven rejoice over that situation. The step in the process of confession and the confessional that Luther disagreed with and eliminated is what we call penance. And the idea was often that your priest, your pastor, would have to then give you, prescribe for you something you had to do after you were forgiven to go somehow make up for this sin that you had done against God. And it left the impression with people that somehow your sin was not completely forgiven, and there was now something you had to add. Christ hadn't quite done enough is the way a lot of people interpreted that. A number of years ago, I was visiting my ancestors' homeland in Norway, and we went to visit an old church that was built somewhere between 950 AD and 1000 AD. Old church. And I was looking in the back of some of the windows, and here in the back was a room, a small room, looked like about this, a little bigger than a closet, and it had bars on the windows, and then bars on the windows that looked into the sanctuary. And I asked our guide about what this was from, and they said that this was a little room that if you were a sinful person that had done some public sin, you were forgiven and you were allowed to be in the church, but you had to sit in this room for a while as almost like a little jail. And the intent was to show people that, and to children especially, this is what happens to you. You had to be a little bit embarrassed for your sin, for something that had become publicly known. How sad. How easy it would have been for somebody to interpret from that treatment that they weren't fully yet forgiven, that there was still something yet to be done. But there can be in us kind of this lingering sense as well, that am I really forgiven? Have I really been washed clean of my sin? Am I really a saint before God the way the Bible declares me? We have to be very careful with our consciences in that way. If you somehow today are afraid that something you've done in your life has still not been covered, I would encourage you to listen to these words from a Norwegian bishop named Bishop Locke. Can it be that your sin, after all, outweighs the life and death of the Son of God? And that your death is stronger than the righteousness of God? Is it possible that your unbelief is true and the word of God is a lie? No, Lord, I surrender to your gospel from heaven. I love that. Be careful of self-talk when it comes to your sins. Listen to God talk to you through his word and in your baptism and in the Lord's Supper. Listen to God talk, not maybe how your own heart might still seek to condemn you. In the field of medicine, there are people who are highly trained to be able to carry out the work of helping people with medical problems and so on. And they go through a process of education to receive the right of being the title of a doctor. And at the same time, someone might come across an accident on a road who's not a medical doctor and yet knows enough about how to apply a tourniquet that could go down and actually apply some medicine-type help that could save a person's life. That doesn't make them a doctor, but what they're doing is actually very beneficial and helpful. When it comes to spiritual matters, there are those whom the church makes sure to educate and teach to be able to care for people in their spiritual lives, oftentimes with very delicate and important issues. But at the same time, there may be opportunities, as James expresses to us, where individual Christians, for whatever reason, whether it's an emergency situation or maybe just out of necessity for someone coming to you, when you now will be the one to talk to a fellow Christian and to help them with their sin as well. Listen to what James says again. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. He who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. How wonderful it will be in heaven to meet those individuals who maybe you in some way or through a pastor have been brought out of the depths of guilt over their sin, have been washed clean in the blood of Christ, have been reassured of this wonderful gospel and the grace of God that has made us saints before God. And someday in heaven, the wonderful conversations we may have about the pathway God brought us through to get there. Amen. And we pray, Almighty God, we confess that we are poor sinners and cannot answer one time out of 1,000 when you contend with us. But with all our hearts, we thank you that you have taken all our guilt from us and laid it upon your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and made him atone for it. We pray, graciously sustain us in this faith and so govern us by your Holy Spirit that we may live according to your will in neighborly love, service, and helpfulness, and not give way to wrath or revenge, that we may not incur your wrath, but always find in you a gracious Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.